Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by South Selects Football, helping to develop the stars of tomorrow today. And by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. If you want to get in the real estate game, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355.
I'd also like to thank Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan for getting on board once again for their support. So in these trying times, you're looking to feed yourself, you don't want to make any food, you can order in from Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Thanks to David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies for getting on board once again and supporting Growing the Game with Ballsy. Yes, we've got an interesting show ahead. We're going to hear from the Riders head coach Craig Dickinson in this edition of Growing the Game with Ballsy and see how he's coping with coronavirus and getting ready for what we hope is going to be a CFL season. Have you been coping with the realities of the global pandemic and being trapped inside with your kids all day by turning to booze? A new survey asked North Americans if they've been drinking more or less since social distancing and stay-at-home guidelines started. And of the people who were asked, 20% say they've been drinking more, 26% say they've been drinking less. The other 54% are drinking around the same amount as they were before. And it's hard not to feel down with all the coronavirus chaos, but there's always a silver lining. Here are the top things to still be happy about. Whatever comedy Adam Sandler was working on has been postponed. Your neighbor's Netflix password still works. Sheltering in place means no in-law visits. Okay, that's more like things to be ecstatic about. I love church myself, but you actually have a good excuse not to go to church. I was going to go to church, but no, I'm not going to go now. I can't. I'll get sick. Thanks to your porn addiction, you've already stocked up on paper towels, so you're okay. Another thing to be happy about, you still have your health. I mean, maybe. Have you been tested yet? You can binge watch TV 24/7 and feel like you've made a contribution to society. And no sports means you can finally follow your true passion, synchro social distancing. Yeah, some things to be happy about. By the way, two WWE wrestlers are being quarantined for possible coronavirus. So I guess we can rule out steroids as a cure. Tom Hanks says he's doing much better since contracting coronavirus. He needs to stay alive, for gosh sakes, so he can star in the next movie they make about whoever discovers the vaccine for COVID-19. And a neighborhood in Milwaukee held a social distancing parade where they wore those inflatable T-Rex costumes. Bad idea, though. With those tiny arms, they couldn't cough into their elbows. I mean, come on. Be socially responsible. Well, as we know by now, the Summer Olympic Games in 2020 have been pushed back to 2021 in Tokyo, Japan because of COVID-19. Hopefully, all things being equal, we'll be able to see those games, still being called the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, in 2021. Man, I hope our life is back to normal by then. Anyway, here at Growing the Game with Ballsy, we had our own official announcement of the cancellation.
Summer Games. Until next year, there won't be any Olympic sports. So I guess I'll watch my kids play games in the yard while I'm on the porch.
On the couch with Coach Craig Dickinson of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So are you locked down, my friend?
Well, not locked down, Michael, but In my house right now and kind of laying low, for sure.
What have you been doing while you've been laying low, Coach Dickey?
Well, the reality is I've got a lot of work to do, and I've been looking at a lot of tape on draft kids. The last few days I've been focusing specifically on the global players. And there's some good ones out there, so I'm staying busy. There's lots to do.
Yeah, I guess you couldn't see do the eyeball test. We talked about that last week, but you definitely can in the day and age of technology. You can work around the clock if you want. That being self quarantined wouldn't bug you that much.
Yeah, no, you can do honestly during the football season, Michael. It seems like you're darn near quarantined anyways in that office. So. You know, the reality is you go in really early during the season and you work till late, yeah. And there's plenty to do. So, you know, this crazy times we're living in right now, it's not really affecting our work too much. We're able to get quite a bit done on our computers, and if we got to talk with people, we're able to get online with them and meet with them as if we were there. So the reality is the way technology is, it makes this, you can still be really productive, I feel like, even if you can't be in the office together.
Yeah, I mean, if this happened in the 80s in the CFL, it would be a different story for sure. But with Skype,
yeah, no doubt.
Skype and video conference calling, FaceTime and all that stuff, you can definitely do that for sure. Hey, how many rolls of toilet paper would you use in a week, Coach?
Boy, you know, that's a personal question, but I let me try to do the math real quick. It just depends what I eat, doesn't it? I would say one or two. I'm in good shape for the toilet paper. I can assure you that.
Okay. Hey, talking about quarantine, did you ever get grounded to your room when you were a kid?
Yes, I did. That was kind of my parents' way to discipline us, especially my mother. So, yeah, I got grounded to my room quite a bit, and when she'd send me to my room, I'd usually find a book to read. I didn't play a lot of video games, but I'd play some sort of card games or board games. But I didn't like being grounded and stuck in my room, so I didn't misbehave all that often.
Are you a solitaire guy or a crib guy?
I prefer crib. Yeah. I don't really know how to play solitaire. I'll have to learn.
I have no idea. Do you know how to play? Me neither. Are you a blackjack guy or a poker guy?
Yeah, I enjoy playing poker and blackjack. Those are fun games. My favorite card game of all, though, honestly, Michael, is Pinochle. My parents taught me how to play that years ago, and that's something we play as a family every time we get together. It's similar to bridge,
yeah,
in that you take tricks, but it's a fun game. There's lots of things to think about.
Coach, do you spend a lot of time on social media? I know you have a couple of social media accounts. Do you spend a lot of time on social media, or in a time like this, besides watching film, do you just limit going down those rabbit holes? I find myself, once I'm done on the radio on my morning show, I just kind of like to distance myself because you can go down a few rabbit holes in this coronavirus thing too.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I would probably be guilty of being on social media more than I should. It's almost become like a way to kill time now. And you're right. You look at Facebook or Instagram or whatever these social media websites are, and you end up just reading the same stuff over and over and over. And you can get a little bit, you're right, you can get a little bit jaded on what's going on in the world. And I can get a little bit jaded on what's going on politically if I'm on that social media too often, because there's so much garbage going on in terms of politics, especially down here in the States. So I try my best to stay off of it. I'm not as good as I should be. I need to get more, you know, the nice thing about coaching is when you're busy coaching football, you have no time for your phone. And that's what I like about, that's one of the things I like about coaching is you can get self-absorbed in something you really love and get off the darn social media.
Coach Dickinson joining us here for his weekly segment On the Couch. Now, how do you feel about players being on social media?
You know, I don't mind it. I try my darndest when I visit with the guys to try to help them, you know, live a life that's productive, live a life that's rewarding. And I don't think being on social media leads to more happiness in one's life or more joy. So I try to just share it that way. But they're grown men, and if that's something they enjoy, then that's something, you know, that they'll do on their own, and I support that. But I tried my darndest to point out maybe some of the ways we can get off of social media and just be more present in what we're doing as a team, and hopefully they take the lead on that.
Do you ever like maybe have a conversation with a guy like Daron Carter? You guys were on the same team. Guy had all world talent, no doubt about it. But a lot of times he'd go down the rabbit hole of social media, get into it with guys on Twitter. Do you ever pull a guy aside like that and say, hey, man, like maybe do something different or kind of like put your focus in another area?
Yeah, I have done that with a couple of players, but I'll usually only do it once. You know, the reality is you can only do so much, and if that's something that a player wants to do, then they're going to do it. And I agree with you. I thought the social media thing hurt him a little bit in terms of just not necessarily anything more than it just takes away focus on what's important, which is your game and your training. And if you get hung up in things that aren't related to you as a football player and getting better, it can take away from your game, and I think that happens to a lot of guys.
Coach, did I read him wrong? Like, I think he's a nice enough man. I've talked to him. Good young kid. He seems to be harmless. But I look at him, and he's got all-world talent. He could be in the NFL if he had focus and drive. I feel like he doesn't have enough focus and drive and want to be a professional football player. Am I right, or am I way off base with that?
No, I think you're close. I mean, he is a good person, and I've had a good relationship with Duron ever since I met him a few years ago when he was on our team. He's highly intelligent, cares about his teammates, wants to do the right thing. He's not a bad guy whatsoever. Where he gets in trouble is I think the season's a grind. It's a long season, and he's not any different than a lot of guys. He gets to the point where I think he gets, you know, he's so intelligent and he's got a lot of things he likes doing that I think football sometimes is not number one. Maybe it's number two, or maybe it's 1A. Mm-hmm. And then it gets hard for him to stay focused on that. I mean, he's got extreme amount of talent, just like a lot of players do. But if you don't really, really love football, that's the one thing about football. You can't kind of like football. If you don't love football, eventually you just find other things to do, because it's not easy pushing your body through the pain and the injuries and the training that you got to do to be a football player. So, and I don't fault guys that decide, you know what, football is I like it, but I don't love it to the point where I'm going to just dedicate my life to it. And unfortunately, if you don't dedicate your life to it, then things happen where you start dropping off a little bit. And I think that happens to a lot of players.
Coach, how much admiration do you have for guys like that? I know it's a business, and once they reach a certain age or a certain dollar figure, those things don't align. You know what I mean? Sometimes production and your wage don't match up, and you have to let guys go. But overall, how much do you admire these guys that go to battle for you week in and week out and do put their body on the line and do sacrifice? And they're not doing it to get rich, not in this league anyway.
I have a ton of respect for those guys, because it is not easy, and it's not for everybody. It really isn't. That's why I think football is such a great game. You don't go out in the backyard. You know, you go out in the backyard and pass the puck around or shoot baskets. I guess you could play catch, but you don't go out and hit the sled. You don't go out and practice tackling. It's a rough and violent game that really, it takes a special guy to really love the game. And I have a ton of respect for those guys. And a lot of these guys, you don't even know they're injured until after the fact. And then you give them their post-game, you know, physicals, or you give them the look over, and you find out they've been playing with injuries that are not just minor. You know, they're not anything debilitating, but they have a lot of pain and a lot of suffering to play through these. So these guys are warriors. I mean, I think that's really the term I'd like to use. They're warriors. They're mentally strong, and their pain threshold is just different than the average person, and that's something I respect a lot with these guys.
Is that what you see in Charleston Hughes? I want to bring him up, because the last 2 years he started like a house on fire and then kind of faded, at least from the outside. It looked like he faded as the season went on. But, you know, if you know Charleston Hughes, last year he played with an arm injury early on in the season and battled hard through it. So I think a lot of fans didn't see that. And, you know, some things we maybe don't see from the outside. Just your thoughts on Charleston Hughes, and what do you like about him that leads you to believe he's going to be as strong as he's ever been? Because let's be honest, he's in a race against Father Time, and Father Time always wins.
Yeah, he's the warrior. Charleston is exactly one of those guys we've been talking about. He's played through a number of injuries. His pain threshold is different than other people. He had an elbow injury that wasn't gonna cause further damage, but it was painful. He had a bone chip in there, and he couldn't extend it fully. And he played through it, and it didn't bother him that much. I mean, he was still fairly productive. So he's one of those guys for sure, Michael. I think his off-season work has got to be really big this year. I've talked to him a couple of times. I think when you get a little bit older, Father Time does beat us all eventually, but the guys that can stave off Father Time best are the guys that understand how to train and really take care of their bodies in the off-season and during the season to be able to play the best they can. I think you look at a guy like Paul McCallum, the kicker for Saskatchewan, that had a long career, ended up probably his best years were in BC. And he played for a long time, and I know Paul personally. He just basically figured out the more I train, the harder I train, the longer I can play and play well.
Yeah, Coach Dickinson joining us from Montana on the couch, and we thank him for his time here. A couple more quick questions for you, Coach. Now, you're an American trying to get your Canadian citizenship, but the fact of the matter is you're in Montana right now. You got to cross the border. The border's closed. Have you thought about how am I going to get back? How are my players going to get back? I'm thinking myself, my son's got to go to UND in July. Will he be allowed to go down there? There are a bunch of different variables here in play.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, we'd all be lying if we said we haven't thought about it. Because right now we're kind of in a pickle. But I really believe, I got great confidence in our leadership on both sides of the border. I think the scientists are going to figure this out. And I hope, I got confidence in people. I hope people do the right thing and self-isolate and really take this very seriously. So that hopefully it is in our rearview mirror when the time training camps start. So I'm very hopeful that things are going to work out the way we want them to. But right now we just got to do the right thing and buckle up and do the things that's going to help everybody.
Not much can be done by anybody except, like you said, to self-isolate. But as we look at this, we could have a situation where we have maybe even an abbreviated CFL season. That could be a possibility, right?
I think there's a lot of things that could happen, you know, and The thing that I've been doing, and the thing that really keeps me going, is I just focus on my job and what I would do every day anyway. So I'll let the guys that are above my pay grade decide what's going to happen if it gets to that point. But for me, this doesn't change one thing I'm doing. It doesn't change one thing our staff's doing. We're still getting ready for the draft. We've got our playbooks put together for the season. I'm going to meet with Jeremy and Ryan Pollock later this morning. We're going to go over the training camp schedule for probably the second or third time now and really try to hammer it down. And we'll adjust if we have to. But, you know, not any different, honestly, than last year or the year before when, you know, that labor deal went right till the final hour. We're going to plan on going, as always, according to schedule, and we'll adjust when we need to.
Coach, lastly, when did you know last year that you had something great going on? You came in late as the head coach, did a great job, you and Jeremy, getting things on the fly set up. You already had most of your staff in place, so that was great. But when did you know, after that first game in Hamilton, as you're rolling along, that, hey, we got something special going on here?
You know, I think it's probably that week 12 when we beat Winnipeg at home, the Labor Day Classic. I knew we had a pretty good ball club. I thought we had the ingredients to be pretty successful, but I didn't know, you know, the level of moxie I think our team showed. That game, even though we didn't play our best game specifically on offense, to come back, to get in position, to kick the field goal and win, and the way, you know, the way the team just rallied and just basically played with great poise the whole time. I think after that game I knew we had a good football team and that we'd be a tough out.
Coach, I appreciate your time as always. Be safe. Wash your hands. Enjoy your working from home. And we'll chat soon, my friend.
Sounds good, Michael. You guys all take care up there. We'll see you soon.